It's SWOPES. My crew, my boo, my weed's the best. So ahead of my time, you can't see me yet. But the last thing you'll ever see is me be stressed.
Hey everybody, how are you? Welcome to my podcast. It is me, Elise Swopes. I am so happy you are here. Hey, I think when I post this, it's going to be November. But right now, it's October. But here we are in November. My goodness, this year, 2020, it's fled by, you know? I mean, it's, what are you going to do about it? Just on for the ride, I guess. Last week, I spoke at Adobe Max. If you haven't watched it yet, you can go to my website and check it out. Wow, I was so nervous. I have never been so nervous for something in my entire life because I just knew that there were going to be thousands of people watching. I mean, I think I had at least 20,000 people watching at once. They had like a peak at 40K. I think I saw 63,000 at once. Unbelievable amount of people watching you speak about what you do. And you're just in your head and you're thinking, okay, is it cool enough? Is it inspiring enough? Are people going to take anything from this? Did Adobe waste their money? Are they going to ask me back next year? Like, I just want to make sure that other people feel that I've done my job, I guess. Do I feel fulfilled though? I thought the hardest part was I hadn't seen what they filmed of me at first. And so I was just really unsure of how it was going to be. You know, I trust Adobe so much, to be honest with you. I really, really do. But it was more so just about the expectations I had in my mind of the way I wanted myself to be presented and how I wanted my story to be told. And I think I just needed to let go of that control a lot. And I'm really glad that I did. And I allowed Adobe to tell my story for me because they told it in such a really, really wonderful way. And I'm just really proud to be a part of Adobe Max and what it did for so many people. It was such a great experience. So many people left inspired, not just from my own talk and my own session, but, you know, everyone else's. There was a lot of really good conversation and a lot of creation and a lot of secrets shared, you know, with what people do and why they do. And sometimes it's just more than enough to kind of give you a push to think about what you want to do and how you want to do it. I've also been working on my book. I've been talking about my book quite a bit. My book is going to be about my daily quotes and what those mean to me and why I started writing them. And I mean, it's been quite a process. Each time I have a book call with my copywriter, we just kind of go through a ton of different questions about, you know, why I'm writing the book, who I'm writing it to, what am I trying to say? And it really is a therapeutic process. And I just saw that Gucci Mane came out with his own book, which is kind of like an affirmation, you know, self-care kind of positive book. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, what? Like, if Gucci Mane is like coming into the space and dominating it, I mean, and so many other people are, I mean, what makes my book different than anyone else's? And so that's something I think I'm really kind of digging into right now, is just trying to make sure that I'm telling my own story, because that's really what's going to make it as unique as possible, because no one's lived my life and no one has seen what I've seen. And so I'm just trying to not speak for anyone else while I speak for myself, but to also make sure that I'm keeping in mind other people's stories while I'm sharing my own. So it's a difficult process, but I think I'm really, really enjoying it, because I think that in the end, there's going to be something that everyone can enjoy and internalize and feel like they can use to be themselves. That's the main focus, is to not be anyone else but yourself. I don't want you to be me. I don't want you to be anyone else. I literally just want you to be yourself. And that's the main focus of the book. But yeah, I've been good. I've been happy, healthy, can't complain. No COVID on this side, not even with my family members, no friends. I think everyone's been really smart, wearing masks, taking care of themselves. And I'm excited about the holidays. It's not going to be the same, obviously, this year as it has been in other years of our lives. But I truly think that if I keep safe the same way I was with my mom's 50th birthday and just make sure I'm distanced with them, but still, you know, seeing them and making time to see them, I think it's way more than enough. And so I think hopefully with Thanksgiving coming up, I should be able to fly to Chicago, see my mom, see my dad for a little bit, and then I think I'm going to go see some friends too in like a cabin in the middle of nowhere. I just don't want to see a lot of people. I don't want to go out. I don't want to be in large groups. I think it's really just smart to be small and very singular in the way that you approach a lot of situations recently and coming up. So I just do that because it's worked for me personally. I've done quite a bit of things since March, and I've also done a ton of not doing things. And it seems like I haven't gotten COVID. I haven't gotten anyone sick. I haven't experienced anything crazy or anything like that. So, you know, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and hope that it just works and continues to work and keeping others safe. I've also been tested too, negative, which is great. So that's also very helpful. Okay, so what are we going to be talking about today on the podcast? You know, we always talk about three different topics, and the three topics today are going to be about time perspective, which is something that is very near and dear to my heart right now. I'm reading a book about time perspectives. And then we're also going to talk about expectations, because who doesn't have expectations? And then we're also going to talk about project management and how to organize a project, how to manage it, and how to just see it through to the finish line. Okay, so our first topic is going to be time perspective. And, you know, I said I've been reading this book, and the book is called The Time Paradox, The New Psychology of Time That Will Change Your Life. It's by Philip Zimbardo and John Boyd, which are two doctors who have studied time. They say that you can reclaim your yesterday, enjoy your today, and master your tomorrow by understanding the way time works. And ever since I've read this book, it really has intrigued me in the way that I have approached time in my life. It makes a lot of sense on why time matters. Time matters because it keeps balance of your imagination. It makes peace with your past. It makes you present. And it makes you hopeful. Time matters. So there's a few things about time in this book that need to be understood before you understand what they mean. Now, the doctors have understood that there's a few different perspectives, and those include being past positive, being past negative, being present hedonistic, present fatalist, and future oriented. And there's another thing, transcendental also, which we'll talk about. Now, if you have a past positive mentality, that means you enjoy the good old days, okay? You enjoy holidays, you enjoy like souvenirs and collecting things, you enjoy taking photos and making memories, and you have a lot of childhood friends. And the interesting thing is that you can either be more past positive or past negative, and it will affect certain points in your life and certain things that you do and certain decisions you make. Now, there's a really important thing about being more past positive than being past negative, because past negative means that there's some things that went wrong in your past and you regret a lot of things. You're super pessimistic. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense why anyone would be past negative. And so in order to get past a past negative mentality, you have to practice having a better future perspective. And a future perspective involves making plans, you know, having intentions, being really consistent with your routines and your mission and your purpose. And you just need to almost reanalyze what your past focus is. And that will take a lot of self-care and a lot of inner work, but it can be possible. So I guess those are just the two that you can relate to the past. Now, when it comes to the present, there's two types of presence that you can be. Now, you can be present hedonistic, which means that you live in the moment. And this is one of the more helpful present perspectives that you can be in, because it's a little bit more about your pleasure in the moment. It's about the sensations that you can have. And you want new and unique experiences. And sometimes the unfortunate side is that you may have an addictive personality. So there can be a lot of really, really helpful, great things about being present hedonistic because it allows you to live in the moment. It allows you to enjoy life. It allows you to do the things that make you happy. But at the end of the day, it also can be pretty dangerous because if you do live in the moment too much in that way where you do too much when it comes to pleasure and sensation and having addictive personalities and you're not thinking about your future, then there's a lot of things that can happen. And so on the other end, present fatalistic, that is more determined by fate. Okay. So a lot of people who are more present fatalistic are probably a little bit more religious on the side, or at least have experienced some things that make them feel like they have no control or they make no difference in the world. They may also think that a lot of things are to destiny and they have experienced a lot of hardships and maybe some poverty in their life because it just feels like things are out of their control. And some things that may help when you have a present fatalistic attitude is to truly be a present hedonist in a way, to find things that you enjoy, to use your senses to be present as possible without being present in the way that everything isn't yours to control. There's a ton of things to control, and it all starts with what you want, what you need. And so start there. Another perspective is the future perspective, and the same way with present hedonistic, where there is a really important balance of good, there also needs to be a really good balance with future-oriented, and future-oriented is all about thinking ahead. It's all about planning your future and trusting yourself and trusting your decisions, and the problem is that some future perspectives can be workaholics. They can kind of remove themselves from pleasures and sensations of things that they actually enjoy. And they need to make sure that they have fun in their lives. They need to make sure that they have family in their lives. They need to make sure they have romance in their lives and hobbies and friends. And they also, you know, the interesting thing too is more or less, I guess, the future-oriented people, they don't really get into that much trouble a lot. They don't really get involved in a lot of drama and things that, because they just don't really see the point in it. So those are just a few things about time perspective that is really interesting because those perspectives can really alter the way that you see life in day to day. It can alter the way that you plan your life. It can alter the way that you have relationships. It can alter the way that you see your business and yourself. And it is really important to consider what kind of time perspective you do have and what your past and present and future is setting for your emotions and your intentions. So I would suggest checking out The Time Paradox. It's a really, really great book and it's a fun read. I'm about, like, I think a chapter or two almost done. And reclaim your yesterday. Enjoy your today and master your tomorrow, like they say. So The Time Paradox, The New Psychology of Time That Will Change Your Life by Philip Zimbardo and John Boyd. Oh yeah, and I almost forgot to talk about the transcendental future because there is a different perspective a little bit about the present fatalist where, and I did mention, you know, some present fatalists are, they're religious because it would make sense. If God has already had determined your fate in society by the actions that you have taken in your day to day, then that's somewhat out of your control. And fatalist doesn't necessarily mean you always think negative things. Maybe someone may think that their greatest, best life is going to be in the afterlife. And so the perspective of the transcendental future is that a lot of people live life in their present by the life that they'll live after death. And so they invest a ton in their day-to-day now for the afterlife. So a lot of people may not actually live their life to the fullest on earth in the present hedonistic ways, or in, I think they're more past positive in a lot of ways, but they'll never be present hedonistic because it will not lead them to their transcendental future. So it's interesting to consider that the biggest suggestion for balance within the time perspectives is to have a past positive, to be present hedonistic, and to be future oriented to an extent, of course, not to be a workaholic, but that means to include the transcendental future ideologies as well. So definitely some really good stuff to think about. All right, so expectations. Expectations are fun, aren't they? I feel like my expectations are already shot in this world. I mean, I have none, I suppose, because everything just is the way it is, and I'm not really in the mood to be disappointed more times than not. So I only have expectations when someone makes a promise, I suppose. If I'm not promised something and I know that there's a bias or someone's experienced something with someone, then my expectations are pretty low. So, but the interesting thing about expectations is they're not goals. And I hope that makes sense when I say that, is that expectations are not goals, because expectations are all about the like recognition and the reciprocation we receive, which is somewhat not in our control, because it's by the recognition and reciprocation of someone else or someone else's actions or activities. And the only thing we can really control at the end of the day is our actions and activities. I don't even know actions and activities, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it makes sense. So expectations can be like in contracts, they can be verbal, they can be behavioral. Man, me and my words today, I'm having fun. But they can be kind of all over the place. Expectations can be involved in anything. But like I said, it's not a goal. It's not something that someone or something needs to happen. It's an expectation. It's a recognition. It's a reciprocation of a communicated expression. Now, when it comes to expectations with yourself and experiences specifically, and this isn't just with people, but when it comes to your expectations with experiences, you have to understand that failure is always an opportunity to learn. Just accept that in life. That's just your mantra in everything, right? It's just to understand that failure is an opportunity to learn, and that learning is always growth. It doesn't necessarily matter about the outcome or the results of a lot of things. And that's why an expectation is not a goal, you know, because goals, I think, rely somewhat on the outcome and the results. But experiences and expectations are more about learning and growth through them. So don't judge yourself through that. And understand that no one is you. No one is you. Okay. And it's always your opportunity when it comes to expectations, is you can always stop having expectations anytime. You can just be grateful of who you are and what you've done and accomplished in your life. So just be present in your path, in your journey. And another thing about expectations is you've got to be realistic about them. You really do. You have to understand that things change and you have to adapt to change. Everything, I mean, change is inevitable. Everything will change. And so your expectations will change. And that's okay. Just be mindful of how you approach those things and how you respond to them. You know, it's really important. And just do what you say. Also, with your experiences, I think when it comes to expectations, you just want to make sure that you aren't saying things that you can't do. You know, you want to just say things that make sense, so that when it comes to expectations of even for yourself and for your experiences or for other people, that you know that what you've said can be accomplished. So be realistic in that way, where you're not lying to yourself or to other people so that your expectations are too high that you do defeat yourself. Know your abilities, know your needs, and don't compare, because your expectations are completely different than anybody else's. And so you just have to understand where you come from. Also, when it comes to expectations, make sure you're thinking long term, right? Because expectations are somewhat short, I think. And that's why they're also different from goals, is because goals are, they're a progress, a process. It's to an end goal, to an outcome. But when you're thinking of expectations, it seems pretty short, and especially with the ones that are hurtful. And so when it comes to this, you want to make sure that you're thinking long term. You want to make sure that you are not allowing the expectations and the little things that come up to derail your process. You want to be patient and you want to prepare for problems. You want to prepare for any kind of risks. And I think that we'll talk a little bit about that in our project management. I love doing these three topic ones because sometimes they accidentally all have something to do with each other. But yeah, so make sure you're preparing for problems and realize that you have to do the work. You can't skip any steps. Sometimes our expectations are so high because we just think that we don't need to do the work, but like you have to do the work. So think long term and remember is that expectations are all about the short, and that sometimes that's why they really let us down in the worst way. Now, some really helpful ways to help expectations with other people and even with yourself, I believe, is to communicate everything, absolutely everything. Do not leave anything unturned. Over communicate. Tell everyone everything that you're thinking, everything you're doing, your timeline, how you work, how you breathe, if it's necessary, because people don't want to be left in the dark about anything. The more you communicate, the better everyone can work together and that everything can be accomplished, okay? So never not communicate. Always communicate. And also, just never assume. I mean, you can assume in certain cases because certain biases are necessary for you to understand how to approach a situation, but just never assume. Just don't assume certain things. But in certain cases, like I said, the biases will help you where you can maybe under-promise things or you can over-deliver to balance a certain expectation out. Also, you want to make sure that you are checking in with people, you're supporting people, you are giving feedback to people. It's a really, really important part of communication and expectations because the more you share what you think, the more people can provide you with what you think. And sometimes people can come off a little apprehensive immediately, but give them some time. Don't allow people to have, and I like to talk about this sometimes, I think there's a concept within yourself where you can have like a personal funeral for being wrong or changing an idea. So let people have a funeral. Let people have a moment with themselves to kind of be wrong and be defensive and to protect their self. But just remember that self-respect is key and that you just want to make sure that you are always understanding and asking for understanding as well, because it starts with you. And just don't like make people beg for info from you, you know, like just like hounding you for stuff. If you're embarrassed, then tell someone you're embarrassed about something that's not working out. If you're late for something, tell someone you're going to be late. Like just the expectations in life are because they've been set. And if you have set an idea for someone and it's not going to be upheld, make sure that you're setting another standard by communicating. Don't leave people hanging, and don't leave yourself hanging, most importantly. Alrighty then. Well, when it comes to project management, I've got a little bit of experience. I've only worked with over 150 different brands and agencies on a ton of projects since 2012, maybe 2013. It's been a little bit, and it's been a process. Not every single one has been great, and trust me, it never will be. I mean, I am expecting there to be failures, and I cannot wait to learn all the lessons that come with them. But until then, I will make sure that all the failures that I have had in the past have taught me quite a bit to share this information with you to hopefully help you. So a few tips when it comes to project management is to make sure that you even know what you're doing. Study the project, know the goal, know the history of the brand or whatever you're trying to accomplish, and know the possibilities. I think it's good to ask and to communicate all these things off the bat so that there's no stone left unturned. You see what we're talking about, expectations, and so communication is absolutely key. You also want to think about the requirements for your project. What's the mission? I think they call it a mission critical, like the things that you must do to finish it, right? What are the tasks? How are you going to finish it? What are you going to finish? And where are you going to finish it? With who? Who, what, where, why, how, all those things. And when it comes to managing the project specifically, You want to identify all the risks. You want to think about the things that may not work because I swear they're probably not going to. And so have another backup idea because change is inevitable. And especially when you have a really good idea, it's more times than not, it's not going to happen because either the agency or the brand is going to think something else or it's just not going to work out. So identify all of the risks and just leave some room for error, leave some room for change, and don't be so surprised if anything comes up because it most likely will. But a smooth project is always, it's just always so nice. And just make sure that you're being productivity focused. You just want to make sure that you're being proactive and things are getting done and you're managing tangible tasks. And that's really just the gist. And you also, I mean, you most importantly, you want to make sure that you have a timeline. You want to make sure that you have milestones that you're hitting. You want to make sure that you're communicating those milestones and timelines to everyone involved. And you want to think about the scope of the project. You want to think about the deadlines. You want to think about that focus and those requirements that you've studied and to make sure that the timeline that you've created works, is that you're leaving room for the risk, you're leaving room for the error, you're leaving room for conceptualizing and creating and all that kind of stuff. So make sure that you're communicating with everyone to make sure that this timeline and these milestones you're trying to hit actually make sense. So you definitely want to make sure that you're keeping everyone engaged. You just want to communicate 24/7. 365, if that's how long the project is. But I mean, communication is going to set those expectations and it's going to really make everything super, super smooth. When everyone knows what's going on, it really just, it helps out. And especially when you get your emotions in check. Now, that means you want to know your strengths and your weaknesses when it comes to what you do and how you work. And you just want to avoid the perfectionist mentality because it's not going to get you anywhere. Perfect moments are not going to happen, especially in this project management environment. So you just want to focus on the goals, focus on the big picture, and know and delegate what's possible. Just, you don't have to do everything by yourself. So keep everything organized. So have your project plan, which is basically your roadmap. Who's going to do what? When are they going to do it? How are they going to accomplish it? And when are they going to be done? And just make a streamline of communication. Just make sure that people aren't losing focus. Make sure that attention is on top. Make sure that productivity is key. And streamlining communication can be, you know, having a group chat, having some kind of something where everyone can talk with one another in a group setting in a really quick way. So make sure you're tracking the progress as well and checking things off and crossing them off because it will really help you in the long run to make sure you've dotted your I's and crossed your T's. And we talked a little bit about expecting risks quite a bit. And it's interesting because there's a few different like things that you can do to assess risks the most important way. And some of those methods include a method called like the Scrum method, which I think is a pretty much one of the most helpful ones, is kind of having like short burst check-ins every now and then to see how things work. I guess it depends on what the project is, because right now I'm working on in a Scrum method on my book where, you know, each time we check in, we're kind of updating and see, okay, how far along are we? What do we need to work on? Because initially I think we were going to kind of do a little bit different of a method where we kind of had like a set scope, a set schedule. We knew exactly what we were going to do, but you know, as time kind of moved on, you start realizing, okay, maybe things are a little bit different and it's more on an emotional base. And I think then that's why that the Scrum method is a lot more helpful. So you can kind of assess the risk as you go on emotionally. But the initial method I was using, I think it's called like a waterfall method, where you kind of had kind of like a singular timeline, you know, from a start to finish kind of mentality, where you have a set scope. And this is mostly how a lot of agency projects work or a lot of brand projects, is have a set scope, you have a set schedule, due dates, when you're going to get roughs by, when you're going to post by, and then you have your resources. So whoever you need to talk to, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to create. And that's just kind of how you assess risks in a way, because you just know what you're going to do. You know that you've already sent your ideas through to the brand and they've approved them. They already know everything you're going to do from your your shot list to your captions. So there's no room for risks in the end because everything is kind of planned out. And there's also another method, and this is, I think, a little bit more towards like people who create product, is to, I think it's called like the Lean in Six Stigma. Correct me if I'm wrong. I apologize if I'm not. But it's about kind of like reducing the cost as you go. So kind of realizing like what's not working as you're moving and getting rid of it. So maybe that is kind of like how my book is working, but a little less because it's not necessarily about product or losing money or cost effective, because I'm not losing any money by changing or shifting. So that method is really just about kind of reducing your waste and looking at defects of things and kind of changing your shift and your risks along the way based on what isn't working in the physical space. So another really important part about project management is to just make sure that you are testing the things that you're delivering with to people. Like, are you, make sure you're posting it on a different account to see how it's working, what it's looking like. Just asking other people to test it out. Testing deliverables and making sure that they're working the proper way is a huge, huge key part on just finalizing a project and managing it, because the management part isn't just when you're sending everything off and closing it off. It's also sending it through, making sure that everyone's happy about it, and also making sure that you're evaluating it afterwards. What did people think? How did it go? How did people internalize it? I mean, it's really one of the most important things you'll have to do as a project manager is to not just send off and be on your way. You really have to make sure that you're humble enough to see the lessons, to see what's not going to work the next time. Oh man, I'm looking at my window right now and I'm like 99% sure it's snowing a little bit. Wow. I mean, if we make it through this year, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. You know, I'm always so, so grateful for you to take the time to listen, to be open enough, to be humble enough, to just learn some new things. And I hope you learned some new things. I hope that I offered a little bit of something new to open your mind to, because, you know, that's all I can do is make you feel more you and more at peace and just more fulfilled. And it's not about, like I said, making you like me or like anybody else. I just want you to be happy. And I hope that this has given you a little bit of boost to just think a little bit further about what you want and what you need. Thanks again. Talk soon. Bye-bye.